For the public reading of God's Word this morning, may I invite our attention to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, and we're going to pick up with verses 18 to verse 26. And behold, men brought in a bed a man, which was taken with the palsy, and they sought means to bring him in, and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God alone? But Jesus perceived their thoughts. He answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man had power upon earth to forgive sins. He saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thy house. And immediately he arose up before them, and took up that whereupon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Please be seated. May God bless his word, but remain open. So we find that Jesus is in a house. Now, when we read that in a 21st century Western mindset, maybe you're picturing a beautiful house with a pointed roof, okay, where the snow in the winter can simply slide off, or the torrential rain of a thunderstorm simply flows into the gutter and is whisked away from the foundation of your home. If that is what you're thinking about here, you are absolutely wrong. Houses in the Middle East did not have pointed roofs, because not that much rain would fall in that arid, desert-like climate. So their houses were flat. The roof was flat. Matter of fact, the flat roof became, in essence, the patio to the home, or the living room, where the family could gather when the sun would go down, and that desert air would quickly cool, and it would be quite enjoyable to be sitting on a couch or in a chair or on cushions, especially at night, on a clear night without the moon, and you can see the beauty and the wonder of the Milky Way and the sparkling stars and the movements of the planets. According to the Old Testament law, people with flat roofs were to have a special guardrail all around the roof to protect people from falling over and getting hurt or dying. And the roof here was not necessarily tile or some type of modern roofing that you see done today, but mainly was fodder and probably palm branches, some type of plant-like material, or material that could easily be broken into, as we see in our story. So these guys are bringing this poor soul who's paralyzed. He has the palsy. He can't walk. So wherever he goes, he has to be borne by his friends on this couch, probably some type of a makeshift stretcher, if you will. And they come to the home where Jesus is at, and the home is packed full of people. So there's no way they're going to get this man into the home and to lay this poor paralytic man in front of Jesus. So they began to think, how in the world are we going to get this man to Jesus? Somebody must have come up with the brilliant idea of climbing up the roof, or to the roof. Now stop and think. how to maneuver a man that's on a stretcher without the man sliding off the stretcher and then compounding his problem. So I'm just thinking outside the box. They must have strapped him in a bit more tighter, probably taken rope or maybe some type of linen material, something like, for the sake of an illustration, like a bungee cord or some type of restraint, so he wouldn't fall. And then these four, two guys probably had to get up. Just stop and think of the logistics. Now, maybe some of these homes, maybe to get to the roof, they probably had a staircase attached to one of the walls to the home. So maybe that's how they did it, versus hoisting this man with pulleys. In all likelihood, there was a staircase that was on one of the walls of the home that gave access to the roof. So now they're on top of the roof. So what do? We got to get this man to Jesus. They literally tear the roof. So stop and think. While Jesus is talking, I can picture in my mind things like straw or some type of hay, pieces of wood falling in front of Jesus, probably on him, with him brushing them aside. And then lo and behold, sunlight just beams into this open hole, and then it's momentarily darkened as this stretcher is lowered by these men, probably using ropes. And there's Jesus looking at this man who's paralyzed. I would imagine that some of the people had to get out of the way to make room for the stretcher. I think that Jesus was basically surrounded by people. There wasn't too much wiggle room. Okay? If there was wiggle room, they could have got the guy into the front door. So they were like sardines. So as this thing is coming down, people were probably getting up, backing up, pushing people further back to allow room for this stretcher to get to the ground. Jesus looks at him. And notice what it says here. Verse 20. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto him. I take the position that the ones who had faith were the men who were willing to carry this man from wherever he was at to this particular home and go through all of the bother to get this man through the ceiling, through the roof, into the presence of Jesus for a healing. So the man that was being born, he's going to benefit solely by virtue of the faith of the men who brought him to Jesus. And then Jesus says, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And then the Pharisees went bonkers. Look at verse 21. Why did the Pharisees get so upset with Jesus' words in verse 20, thy sins are forgiven thee? Now, we got to stop and think. Their theology, their understanding was right. What did they say? Only God can forgive sin alone, verse 21. And that's true. So what's the disconnect? What's the problem with the Pharisees? The Pharisees made a true biblical theological comment. Only God can forgive sins. Not the Pope, not a rabbi, not a Protestant pastor, not me, not you. Only God can forgive sin. So what went wrong? The problem was the Pharisees were not willing to connect the dot to the fact that God was in their presence that day in the flesh. That's the disconnect. What they said was 100% correct. Only God can forgive sin. So it's possible to have good and proper theology in the mind, but come to a very unbiblical interpretation. And here's an example of such an example. Good theology, faulty conclusion with that theology. And then Jesus in verses 22 demonstrates that he's God by perceiving their very thoughts that was in their hearts. Jesus didn't need to hear nothing coming out of their lips. He was able to read their minds, if you will. And he perceived what they were saying about him and charging him with blasphemy. And then Jesus brings forth the proposition. Which one is easier, Pharisees? What do you think is easier for me to do? Tell this man your sins are forgiven, or to tell him to rise up and walk? Which one do you think is easier for me to do? Which one is going to convince you? What would you like to see? And then in verse 24 is powerful. That ye may know that the Son of Man, and that was a term not relating to his humanity, but is actually a term of deity, beloved. The term Son of Man is found quite exclusively in the book of Ezekiel. And then if you read Daniel chapter 7, verses 13, 14, and 15, you will see that Jesus, as the Son of Man, ascends up to the Ancient of Days to receive his kingdom. And that was fulfilled when Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father. So that term Son of Man, beloved, is a term of deity, not a reference to his humanity per se. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath authority, the word power there is authority, upon earth to forgive sin, he now turns to the man sick of the palsy and says, arise, take up your couch, and go home. And in verse 25, immediately this man rises up, takes his cot, or takes his stretcher, takes his couch, glorifying God, and skedaddles home. And then notice the reaction of the people. They glorify God. And notice what they said. We have seen strange things today. So for those who claim that Jesus never claimed to be God, it is quite evident that they haven't read a Bible, number one. Or number two, if they have read a Bible, God has blinded their eyes whereby they cannot see the truth. Or thirdly, they hate Christ so much, they willingly choose to be ignorant to the demonstrations of his divinity. Well, may God bless his word.